ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The wealth of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. In this lecture, inshallah, we discuss one of the issues related to family or marriage. And basically, we're going to be talking about multi-marriage or plural marriage or whatever term that you want use. And the main verse that we're using today is Surah Nisa, Surah number 4. And the verse is number 3. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا. This verse, Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, verse number 3, it talks about multi-marriage. What is the term that we're using to add the zawjat, polygyny or polygamy or whatever term that you may utilize in? Basically, Islam has permitted a man to marry more than one wife. Islam has forbid a woman to have more than one husband. So this is the difference between two terminology, polygyny and polygamy or whatever polygyny, that one is utilized for what is known in Western society for a woman to have a husband as a boyfriend or have more than one friend, boyfriend, or having more than husband. And we're going to talk about this which is not permissible in al-Islam. Now we talk about ta'adud al-zawjat, not ta'adud al-azwaj, that means having more than one wife. Some people they call it multi-marriage, or some people they call it plural marriage. Whatever terms they use, that means a man having more than one wife. First of all, we have to understand that it's permissible. Okay? And this is not something which Islam has started. Having more than one wife, it's been known in the Sharia before, the previous Muslim community, in the time of the Prophet Isa, the Prophet Musa, the Prophet Abraham. You found even most of those prophets, they have more than one wife. Okay? The Prophet Ibrahim, we understand what happened actually with Ibrahim, why he migrated and having Sarah and have Hagar. So we know that the prophets, and even in some statement in the previous book, like the present Bible nowadays, okay, it talks about the Prophet David or Prophet Sulaiman and how they had many wives, and in the Hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us about the Prophet Sulaiman when he made intention that to have intercourse with 100 wives, 100 of his wives, that each one will bring a boy and that he will be a mujahid fi sabilillah. But he didn't say inshallah. So as a result of this, the angel said to him to say inshallah, he didn't say inshallah. And none of them became pregnant except one, and she didn't give a full boy, but with a half boy. Alright? So these things basically to let us know that Islam didn't start the multi-wives or the multi-marriage. It's been known in the previous books, in the previous nations, and a lot of prophets, they've been married more than one time. Although that we understand it's not everything that permitted before is going to be permitted in our deen, unless Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell us something about it. So in Al-Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this statement. And what we understand in this statement, that Allah has revealed these verses because some men, they used to have orphan girls that under his supervision, under his guardianship, he was the one over them. And he may like her, or that he based by her beauty and want to marry her. But since he is her guardian, that means in charge of her property, he may fear that he may not be just with her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to tell him, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى. If you fear that you are not going to be fair and just with the orphan women, so marry of your own choice what's pleasing to you among the women, 2 or 3 or 4. But if you fear injustice between them, so stick to 1. Alright? So a man who are in a charge, somebody will say, Brother Abdullah, he asked Mahmoud that when he died, that he will take care of his family and watch over his children and his family. So when the brother passed away, Mahmoud became a guardian over the children. And among the children, there's some girls. And he's interested to marry one of these girls. But he is the same one in charge also of the girls and the boys and the property and your business and your money. So he may be a man here, he's not going to be fair to her, how much dowry he paid for her, how much he's taken from her property, all these things. So Allah gave an instruction to the believers, those who are in the charge of orphan girls, if they think that they may be not going to be fair to them, so Allah made lawful for you other women. So stay away from this doubtful, or that you may think that you God don't not going to do fair to them. So marry other women, that you are not a wali over them, that you are not guardian over them, that you are not doing business with their money, that you are not in charge with their economics. Turn to some other women and marry what is pleasing to you from other women that you are not in charge of their affairs. And marry what? He said you can marry two or three or you can marry four. Okay? So the Sharia, the Quran, has made marrying more than one woman permissible. More than one woman permissible by the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And some people, they twist the verses and say, no, you need to read the verse before and the verse after. This doesn't say this. And they try to make excuse that, try to beat around the bush to say that there is nothing called multi-marriage in Islam, because they've been affected by the Western society and Western education, and they try to find excuses in Islam that a man could not marry more than woman. One woman, because it's not fair, this is not just, and if so, so the woman could, why could not have the same rights as the man can have? Two wives, three wives, four wives, so why also the woman did not have two husbands, three husbands, like this? Why? Because they've been affected by the kuffar society. And they will try to candy-coat this Islam and bring Islam in a way, in a manner pleasing to them. You don't have to please anybody, okay? You present the Islam as it came from Allah, as it came from the Prophet ﷺ. You don't have to make any excuse, alright? You don't have to make any excuse why Allah legislates this. If anybody wants to accept the Islam as is, alhamdulillah, they don't want to accept it, hellfire is spacious and big enough to accommodate all the kuffar. You don't have to switch Islam, to Americanize Islam, to candy-coat Islam, so the kuffar will accept it and say, yeah, man, this civilization and rule, two or three or four. And if you fear that you cannot do justice to so many, then one only, all the captains, that your right hand with this. Thus it is more likely that you will not do injustice. Alright. Those people who try to twist this verse and say not, you could not marry a woman except there is a reason, a second wife, third wife, fourth wife, except a reason. Now they're going to start with the end of the verse. Because the end of the verse is say what? That if you think you could not be just between you and the women, stick to one or what? أو ما ملكت أيمانكم. Or whatever your right hand would say. Why right hand would say? Because with the right hand would say, you don't have to worry about justice. So this is going to complicate the subject to the people more. Because they're trying to tell you there is nothing called multi-marriage in Islam. But there is something else in Islam. You can have one and two and three and four wives, and in addition to this, you can have the right hand with this. So what is this right hand with this business we're talking about here? Alright. Right hand with this, you can possess them through two means. By two ways. One, true participation in the battlefield, in the jihad. If there is a Muslim society, i.e. a Muslim community, i.e. a Muslim government, and they have authority in the earth, and they've been required by Islamic law to make jihad and to go and give the people da'wah, and if the people don't take the da'wah, accept it, they will obligate them to pay jizya tax. And if they refuse, now in this case we fight them, or otherwise they will give us a free green light in their country that will breach Islam and give the people the right message. And the other hand of the Muslims have to be the ones who are governing such a country. So if this kafir country refuse and say, no, we are not taking shahada, neither we're giving you jizya and tax, neither we're going to accept you to rule our country. Same thing like America is doing. They're going to Iraq to build democracy. Doesn't matter Iraq like it or no, we are here, you take it or you leave, we're going to make democracy here. This exists exactly, this is the way of Islam. If there is Islam established in a power and in society, they will go to other lands and will impose Islamic ruling in the government and the society, but not imposing Islam on the people. You understand the difference? That means the country can remain Christian or a Jew, whatever, but it's going to be ruled by Muslims, and Quran and Hadith will be the upper hand in the society. So this people say, man, get out of my face. You're not coming here, no jizya, for nothing for you. Say, okay, so we're going to fight you guys. So let's go, let's fight. Now, if the Muslim society went against the Kuffar society as they fought, after they warned them, giving them da'wah, and now the Muslim society and the Muslim Khalifa won the battle, any women that participate with the Kuffar in the fighting, they will be taken as captives. Okay, you understand? And this what you called it, now the Amir of the Mu'mineen in that time, or the Khalifa, he will distribute these women through the army, his army who fought. And this woman, we will call her what? Right hand Muslim. Okay? You got it? Now this woman who became your right hand Muslim, you have the right to have intercourse with her without marriage. So if you have two or three, plus your wife, you have to be just between your wife, but you don't have to be just with the right hand with this, because you have no right. Neither that you contract a marriage with them. So now those people who try to tell you there is nothing called polygyny or polygamy in Islam, multi-marriage, how are they going to explain the other part of the verse, أَوْمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ? Stick to one if you could not be fair with your wife, or your right hand with this. So he still have wine and have what? And have what? What he will do with right hand with this? Only serve his meal? No! He's going to sleep with her. He's going to sleep with her. So now we're going in a circle, try to say the Quran doesn't mean this. Now you have something worse, you understand, worse for you to get out of it, the right hand with this. This is one way to get about right hand with this. What's the other way? That the master of this girl, right hand with this, he fed up with her, or he doesn't want her anymore, he will take her in a market called the slavery market. Like a place they sell cars, now there is a place they sell women there who are right hand with this. And now Abdurrahman will come and say, how much you want for this woman? I say, I need 100 or 1,000 or whatever it is for her. He will buy her. So that he get her as a result of participating in jihad, or as buying her with your own money. Okay? After her idda is over, now she is your right hand with this. You can use her, you sleep with her, whatever. She cook for you, clean your toes, cut your nails, whatever that you want, brush your teeth for you. She's your slave. Alright? So Islam allows these two things, multi-wives as well as right hand with this. Excuse me. excuse me, brothers, I'm sorry. I came here and I catch a cold in your Philly. I didn't bring it with me, all right? But it's fine. We're about to finish. We have one lecture more to go, and I think I can make it, inshallah. The same thing that happens to Arabs, they used to have multi-wives. But when they get into Islam, look like what happened with Qais ibn al-Harith. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ وَعِنِّي ثَمَانِ نِسْوَةٍ فَأَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقُلْتُ لَهُ فَقَالَ اِخْتَرْ مِنْهُنَّ أَرْبَعًا. So the Hadith explains also the Quran. And this one of the Sahaba, and it's not the only case. This Sahabi is there, Ibn al-Harith. He said, Qais ibn al-Harith said, I took Shahada, I became Muslim. And I have 8 wives. He have what? 8 wives. So now he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, O Prophet of Allah, now I'm a Muslim. And I have 8 wives. What I can do about them? He said, choose or select 4 of them and release the rest. So Islam didn't come to abrogate the multi-wives, but confirm it and came to shame it and put it in the right way. How? By making the limit 4, by making condition of fairness, right? This is what Islam came about. Islam didn't came to abrogate it because it existed before Islam. Among the Arab, among the Jewish, among the Christian, among the prophets before. Okay? But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though He allow more than one wife, Allah made a condition. What is the condition? We have 2 conditions here. One is a general condition which applies to one wife or 2 wives or 4 wives. What it is? He said that, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, O young men, those who have the means to get married, let them get married. Why? The Prophet said, because this will help you to know your gains and protect your private parts. But those who don't have the means to get married, you still go ahead for marriage? You say, no, fast. Because fasting will be a protection, will weaken your desire. You see? When you fast and you live the adab and the discipline of fasting, it will help you look into the women, going and coming in the street, it keeps you from haram. So the Prophet made the condition to get married that you have the means, and economics and money is part of the means. You have to be healthy enough, you have to be wise enough, you have to be have some money, you're going to pay the dowry, you're going to be paying rent, you're responsible. Marriage is not a joke, it's a responsibility, you see. So if you don't have it for one woman, of course you could not have the second one. How you could not even pay the expenses of one wife, and now you're going to get the second wife? So it doesn't matter if it's 1 or 4, you are responsible. Except if she forgo, like what we're saying today in the, I think we, yeah, in the radio station today, we're talking about maybe a rich woman looking for somebody, and when she found this brother, say, hey dude, say bro, yes ma'am, are you single? No ma'am. You married? Yes. How many wives you got? I have only 2. So your dishes still have more room for more. So no sister, I really I could not, because I'm working 2 jobs now, right? I could not say, come on man, don't worry about this. Alhamdulillah, Allah bless me, brother, I have all this. Fourth Avenue is mine. Half of Philly, it belongs to my family. And I inherit from my father all this same building that you see down in the street. I don't need your money. I don't need your money, beauty. Handsome, I don't need your money. Would you marry me? The brother starts kind of rubbing his eyes, scratching his head. Oh, what's going to happen now? Yeah, I don't have the means, but she's telling me now. Don't worry about it, though. Yeah, but maybe the first wife will hit me on my head. You understand that the other one, you may be going to put a wire across the steps while I'm going down the stairs in the morning. I will fall in my face. And so, but he has an open avenue. The sister told him, don't worry about money. Can he marry her if he wants? Yes, because this is her right to be maintained, and she's ready to forego her right. This is her choice. This is her choice. And we also, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we understand that a man came to get married and he doesn't even have the money to make the dowry. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go man, get something. Go and come back and say, oh Prophet of Allah, I don't have anything. Finally the Prophet said, go and look even for a ring from metal. That means go find even 50 cents in your house. Can you find a 50 cent to pay dowry? Go and get a ring from iron. Something, at least you can give her something, man. And the man go back again and come say, oh Prophet of Allah, by Allah, I don't have anything to give her. And you know, most of the Arabs, they used to wear two pieces of clothes. Okay? Like when people go for Hajj, they wear in one piece called Izar and Rida. Izar to cover his waist from the navel to the knee. And the Rida to put it in his shoulder. And this man, like our language nowadays, he doesn't even have a t-shirt. You know, when you go to some restaurant and say, no t-shirt, no shoes, no serving. Alright? So this Sahabi, may Allah bless him and reward him, he doesn't even have a t-shirt. All what he has is this towel, he wrap it in his waist to cover his private part. This is all what he got. This is all what he owned. Say, oh Prophet of Allah, all what I got is this. I can give it to her as a dowry. The Prophet said, well, she's going to go with it. If she wear it, you'll be naked. And if you wear it, you will be naked. So that means the man has zero. So finally the Prophet ﷺ asked him, do you know any Quran? He said, yes, Prophet of Allah, I know Surah such and such and Surah such and such and such. He said, okay, fine, good. I will marry this woman, give you this woman in marriage, and her dowry is that you teach her whatever you know from the Quran. Fine. Congratulations, you are married. So the Prophet ﷺ has before a marriage with a man has no money. But the woman was aware about his condition. He didn't say, oh man, don't worry about it. My uncle is the mayor of Philly. And you understand, I have this stock, you understand, such thousands of dollars. And he fooled her after she got married. He doesn't even own a 1985 Chevy car. Honey, how are you going to work? I've been looking, I really been putting application in many places, I could not find it. What? And how are you going? Oh, I have a bike, a borrowed bike of Brother Abdul Majid, because I'm going to ride to downtown and look for a job. You could not deceive somebody, telling them that you are and you have. But if you come tell her sister, I'm here, but I don't have it. You want to marry me? Alhamdulillah, you don't? May Allah bless you and give your brother who have it. Say, no brother, I want you. Can he marry? Yeah. Yes, he can. We are not encouraging this, but we say it is permissible. If the woman choose, why? Because it is her right to forgo. Alright? She can forgo her right of maintenance, shelter, whatever it is. She say, all what I want, you. Alright?
and we can sleep under the rain, right? We're going to be sleeping in the bushes, and she starts all this daydreaming stuff. I love you, you love me, and now when it's rain, we're going to understand to count the drops, and when it's snow, we'll be like, understand, we're in the clouds, and all this stuff, you see. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, you know. And so she sees the clouds will be a different cloud, eh? Anyway, so one of the conditions of marriage is that you have enough. Except if you be serious and honest with the woman and tell her. What is the second condition? Is fairness, to be just and fair. What does this mean? That if you have two wives, you're going to spend one night here, you spend one night here. You spend two nights here, you spend two nights here. You buy this woman a bag of apples, you bring here a bag of apples. Not to buy banana here, because banana much cheaper than apples, okay? And you take apples to the other one. Except one loves banana and one likes apples. So then tell him, no, I'm sorry, I have to be fair. You better eat apples, no banana for you. But honey, I don't eat, it's too much for my teeth. You see? But you have to be fair. This is a condition of having more than one wife. So what the Prophet, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. If you fear that you'll be unjust, unfair with your wife, stick to one. Stick to what? To one. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً or مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ or your right hand with this, because you don't have to worry about right hand with this, where you spent the night last night, or where, nothing, okay? So we understand that having more than one wife is permitted by Islam, it's permissible, and it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We understand that out of Allah's mercy, that He made more than one wife is optional or a sunnah. He didn't make it obligatory. Otherwise, all of us will be in big trouble. You see, because some of us could not handle, you understand, the financial responsibility of more than one wife. And even some of us can, but could not handle it. Here, I'm saying, you understand? Some people, you tell him, you say, brother, please, give me a break. I have one woman, I could not deal with her. Can you imagine if I have two women? I will be in the crazy hospital. You see? He say, I only have one woman and I barely can deal with her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make it obligatory in us. You see? Because not everybody ready for multi-wives. And not everybody can handle more than one woman. Barely some people can handle a whole woman. You look, I'm sick tonight, otherwise you will hear it. Okay? Also, we understand that it must have its better sunnah. Okay, somebody will say to me, okay, brother, if Hamza have the ability financially and physically and mentally and, is it better to stick with one or have more than one? If you're talking about more reward, more wife. Because it's important maintaining discipline, teaching more than one woman. And this also talking about more children. So, you get more reward. Listen to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, and saying, in the khayra hadhihi al-ummah, aktaruha nisa'a. The best among these nations, this ummah, is those who have more women, more wives. Okay? Also, we found that the Sahaba, or before the Sahaba, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had 11 wives. And when he died and he left what? 9 wives. Allah has made this special only for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had the right to have more than 4. Okay? This only speciality for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself, he had multi-wives. The Sahaba, most of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have more than one wife. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying what the meaning is, تَنَاكَحُوا تَنَاسَلُوا فَإِنِّي مُكَاسِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Get married, have a lot of children, because I'll be proud and competing with the other nations with your number in the day of judgment. And of course, a person who have one wife, he could not have more children than a man who have two and three and four wives. Okay? So the more wives mean can be what? More children. So this also will be good and more rewarding because you'll be fulfilling the desire of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars in general understood that multi-marriage is more rewarding than one wife. He said because Allah started in the verse with the plural, not with the single number. He said, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ So Allah starts with what? With multi numbers. He didn't start with what? With the single. He didn't say get one wife. He said that marry what you admire or what you like from women, two, three, up to four. But if you fear being unjust, stick to one. In actuality, brothers and sisters, multi-marriage, having more than one wife, it is the common sunnah of Allah among all His creation, not only among mankind. You see? Thank you. JazakAllah. You can look among the birds, the animals, the fishes, name it, any of Allah's creation, any Allah's creation, you found Allah put it in this way, okay? Male have more than one female. And let's be a little bit realistic. And let's look to this subject from another point of view, from another angle. Let's look to our breathing condition as example. In Philadelphia as example, does anybody know the number, the ratio of women compared to men? Does anybody know? Huh? 10 to 1? I think it's 14 to 1. But let's say that it's 10 to 1. Alright? 10 to 1. Let's now for a moment close our eyes about what the Quran saying, what the Prophet saying, and what the Muslims believe. If in Philly, for every man, there is 10 women exist, what's going to happen if every man, Christian or a Jew or whatever he is, marry only one woman? What's going to happen to 9 women that live? They have no husband. Yes. Okay, attacking them physically. they are not going to attack him only. We know what's happening, okay? We know what's happening. But I'm talking to you to let you know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making sharia, making a law, and making something permissible, Allah knows what's going on. Allah knows the future. Allah knows what's going to happen. You see? So, if we want to solve the problem, living in a place like in America, as example, which is this considered against the law, how you going to solve the problem of these women? If every man only responsible about one woman, what's going to happen to these 9 women that without a husband? Now we can see the sexual illness, sickness, mentally and physically is going to be spreading in the society. There is no solution except multi-marriage. You see? What about a condition, as example, when wars having mostly soldiers, the soldiers are men, except a few cases like in America and Russia and all the things, they put a few females here and there, okay, maybe cooking in the kitchen and things like that, but most of the one who dies what are men. So, with all this war that's happening, how are we going to solve the problem of those women that their husband have died, passed away in the war? How are you going to solve this problem if there is no permissibility for more than one wife? See? So there is no other solution except the solution that Allah had made for mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, He legislate a law which will make our deen, our dunya, our akhirah to be good. And whosoever deviates and deviates from the law of Allah, he is not ever can get a better solution, and is not going to be a solution except the solution which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted in the Quran. And here, before I close, I want to come with some kind of words of advice, like say, let me whisper in your ear, especially if you are a sister or a brother, and you are in a case of multi-wives, or your husband about to get married. Let me whisper in your ear and tell you something. Remember that المؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض. The believers, male and female, are the friend and the protector of one another. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لن يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخي ما يحب لنفسه. None of you will be a true believer unless he loves for his brother whatever he loves for himself. Otherwise, none of you sister will be a true believer until you love for your Muslim sister what you love for yourself. Who are you going to put yourself in her position? A sister with four kids, her husband died, or her husband divorced her. She has a job, everything, but she is lonely. She doesn't even have somebody to talk to her. Would you like to be in her position? Husband can give her $100 or $50 every month. But she's working, she has money. She's not worried about your husband's money. She needs some company. She's a human being like you. She needs a man to touch her, to talk to her. Sometimes to give her a direction or something. Why are you going to put an obstacle in your sister? Or why have to be my husband? If it's not your own husband, it will be somebody else's husband. Somebody has to make the sacrifice. Yeah, brother, but why have to be my husband? Why does it have to be my husband, sister? Why? What about if is this your case? If it's your case, would you really would like somebody to marry you or no? But now she don't have an answer. Okay? So out of faith, that we need to think about others and we try to help others and to be there for them for the moment of their needs and their wants. I would like to say something to you, my dear respected Muslim sister. Why you did not try to benefit out of multi-marriage instead of make it a way of destruction for your own marriage? You know what? Sometimes you would like to have a quality time with your own husband, and you barely can find somebody to babysitter for your children. So now, if you have a co-wife, you see, maybe she will be ready to help you, and she can be a babysitter for your kids, so you can have a quality time you and your husband can go to the restaurant and enjoy your dinner together without all this noise that you hear it day and night. Mommy, 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 mommy. Why you don't put your hands together, you and your co-wife, and now this is a good opportunity that you have additional member in the family and you can start your own business, you and your co-wife and your husband. Why not, why not? There is many things that you can benefit out of having a co-wife. You see? And maybe she more learning than you in Islam. Maybe she will help you to learn more about your deen. And the bottom line, why don't care about the blessing? That you get in blessings by helping your Muslim sister. So why would not to try to make something good out of it, and instead of having a long face, crying the whole night, and running to the imam, waiting for the imam to come, because I need my khul' now. Give me khul', divorce, khul', divorce. Can we make something good out of it? Of course we can. If we say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, try to have control over our anger, and to try to have control over our emotion, and to try to be reasonable in our decision and the way how we do things. With this, inshallah, I would like to stop here, because it can take, but maybe let me also give the brother, sister, give the sister some advice, saying something to the brother who may be planning to do so, get himself in trouble, I mean, get himself in, okay, or that he's already in it. Remember, never talk to your second wife about what is the third wife doing to you. Never try to praise one wife in front of the other one. Otherwise, she will get the baseball bat and will hit you in your head. But your intensive care. Be wise enough. Don't tell your wife anything about the other wife. You see? Because it's going to promote jealousy and envy, and you will be in trouble. Alright? Never try to praise a wife in front of your other wife. Don't carry gossip or the word of a wife about the other wife. Okay? Oh, my wife, I could not take this because she said such and such about you. You make a big fitna in the house. See? Don't talk to your wife about the other wife, what she said, even if she said it. Remember, that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had worked through jealousy and envy, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was patient with them. Okay? So, we need to learn from the Sunnah of the Prophet that if you are in multi-wife, it's going to require a lot of patience. And you have to be patient with your wife. And you have to understand about the jealousy and the envy that's happening. And you have to cool out and take it easy. And don't understand, start screaming and yelling. Because nobody brought it to you except your own self. You chose to be in this situation. Nobody threw it in you. Okay? So, don't you understand, get mad and try to be cool and try to take things easy. And calm down, and they try to sit down, and have family consultation, and they try to make things work, inshallah. Finally, I would say, keep the dua. The co-wives, they need to make dua, the husband need to make dua, and everybody need to make dua. And last word of advice I want to give it to the community, take it easy, please. Is enough what is the first wife going through, or the second wife going through, don't try to be smart as soon you meet her in the bus. Oh, my sister, oh, I really feel sorry for you. Oh, my sister, I really feel bad for what happened. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, woman? And instead of giving a word of support to your Muslim sister, why are you going to act like as if you understand that the whole life collapses, that the end of life, oh, my heart is with you, my sister, I feel bad about what your husband did to you, I heard he got mad. Is it so, my sister? Please, sister, okay? Is enough. Don't add more fuel to the fire. No need for this. Okay? You know the sister already hurt. And she's trying to get over it. And as soon as you start to tell her this, oh boy, forget it. Fire will start again. All right, brother. In time, got it. All right, brothers and sisters, Jazakumullah khairan for listening. Hopefully this presentation is beneficial for me as well as you. And we leave the rest of the time questions, comments, concern, or correction. I'm your host, Muhammad Said Adli, alive from Philadelphia. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, congratulations in advance. And you too, brother, congratulations in advance. All right.
During the jihad and the brothers defeated the enemy and took the women as their booty. And they was able to, even though they had not had wives, they were still able to go into the women and do as they please. Now, my question is, if that be the case, what would constitute adultery or fornication under those circumstances if that was permitted?
So, brother, if this is permitted, what constitutes adultery and fornication for a man sleeping with his own wife? Allah make it lawful, actually. This was constitute, okay? A woman walking in the street, you pay her $40, $50, whatever you agree with her about, sleeping with her for an hour, this adultery or fornication, whatever you want to call it. But this woman, Allah gave you the right that you go into her after one message, because she was a kafir, disobedient to Allah and His Messenger, and she fought against the Muslim. Now, as a form of punishment for her, she became a right hand possessed to be having intercourse with her without her permission or even without contract. Allah make it this way. Who is me or you to say yes or no?
Okay, I understand that, but I'm trying to understand the fact that if that be the case and the brother may have impregnated the sister, what would become of that child, though?
The child is legally, yachid. It's legally child. This is not adultery or fornication. You know what something called right hand would be, you would visit it like your car. Can somebody tell me, where are you going with your car? No, don't make it green, make it yellow. It's your car. So Allah says this woman became yours without even a dowry. Without that, you see, when somebody doesn't accept Islam willingly, Allah humiliates them and puts them in a position, what you call right hand possess, that a man now who possesses her, he has the right to do this with her without even her consent, without a dowry, without contract. It is. He owns it. You see? He owns it. He doesn't even do something good of giving her one night and his wife one night. No, she doesn't have any condition over him. Allah make it this way.
Shukran.
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khairan shaykh Ali Khan. I just have two questions. The first question, inshallah, how about if the first wife, she doesn't want to accept the second wife?
Okay.
That's my first question, and I will leave the second after that.
First question, if the first wife doesn't want to accept the second wife, we ask her, are you going to support her? Are you going to maintain her? Are you going to pay her rent? What does it mean you are not accepted? Nobody asks you to accept. All what we ask is you remain in your house and be a wife to the best of your ability. Take care of your children, take care of your house. Nobody asks you to accept anything. Whatever he has outside in the other house, this is his business. What we mean by accept? Oh, I could not deal with it. What are you talking about? You could not deal with emotion. Try to work with it. Make salah, read Quran. Keep making dua that Allah help you. Oh no, I'm leaving. Who's the loser? You're the loser. I'm leaving. I want my divorce. Who's losing? You see? It doesn't make sense. when you leave it, you are the loser. So the co-wife, the second wife, instead used to go have 3 days a week, now she's going to have what? The whole week. You see? So you better be smart and remain there, sister. Yes. Second question.
Inshallah, second question. How are the brothers, they get married like two, and then they put them in the same apartment and the room?
Okay. If a brother marry a second wife, and he wants to put the second wife in the same apartment, he could not do this without the permission of his first wife. Okay? Because he gave the first wife her dwelling place, which was apartment, two bedroom, and a garden. This is hers. You could not take something from her to give it to the other one, except if she accepted it. You see? You need to go to create a different apartment for the second one. Except if you have a big mansion, 10 bedroom, and only you and your wife and the cat in this big mansion. Alright? Now, you decide that you're going to sell this mansion and you're going to buy 2 small houses. This is a different story. But also, I will let you know that in some cases, sister's first wife or the second wife, she go and look for another wife for her husband. And I lived this experience with my own eyes and I saw it. Sisters coming and telling me, if you know a good sister in the community, my husband looking for a second wife and I would like, you understand, to interview the sister. She's a sister. And she searched for it. So in a case like this, if the first wife is okay with it and she welcomes the second wife, and the second wife has no problem except the condition, yes, he can have both of them in the same apartment. This is your room and this is your room. You share the kitchen. And if you could not take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
As long as I can make this short, and sweet, because apparently you are under, you know, feeling so cold.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I make it short and sweet. Now, if there is any kind of, it's far-fetched, but it's in the realm of what we see now in this reality, if there's any kind of a war with inside the person, and a war where it's good and bad between each other and veins itself, it's a war where it's we got to do right, or we have to try to do right, and this war is bringing in 14 women to every man. And we know it's a war now, and we know that things are getting rough and hot now here in America, and we know there's so many women being abused and don't have any type of way to fortify themselves to get some kind of righteous knowledge within themselves, and we know this is actually going to happen. What is the new world concept of bringing the women into the right hand possessed?
There is no new okay. There is no new It will happen. It's a matter of time. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that from the signs of the day of judgment, that will be for one man, he has to look after 50 women. It's going to get worse, man. It's going to get worse. Who's going to take care of all these women? He's serious about lots of these women. I was so shocked, man, walking in Philly, women almost like walking naked. They're getting crazy. They're walking almost naked in the street. They don't know what to do with themselves.
They're destroying what? They're destroying the family, not only, not the women, but the type of society.
Everything. Destroying what is a big, is a big evil, man. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I didn't leave anything more dangerous for men behind me more than women. Women is the most serious. This more than a nuclear bomb, man. It's danger. It's danger, brother.
Assalamu alaikum. I always wanted to understand this ayah where Allah says,
maybe you can elaborate on it. The law says you will never be able to be just as among women, even if it's your heart and desire. Can you explain that for me, please?
Yes, inshallah. Yes, there is a verse which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَن تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ. You will never be able to be fair with women, even if you know your best. You try all your best to be just with the women you could know. The understanding of this verse, that Allah is talking about the love, the heart, the emotion. You could not have control over your emotion. You may love one wife more than the other, but the physical and the material thing, you have the means if you want to be fair. Same way like I give to my children, $1, $1, $1, I can give to this woman one night. Okay? So there is something under your control, which is a physical, tangible thing, and things that is not under your control, which how much your heart will incline to this. As example, you're married to two women, one from Africa and one is Spanish. You didn't get used to the Spanish food, so whenever the African wife cooks for you, you're ready to lick her fingers after the meal. But when the Spanish wife cooks for you, you may hide it in your book bag, a sandwich from McDonald's. See? So what you learn about... What's happening here? You like something about the space system, but some men, he different from a man to a man. A man, his main concern is intercourse. Another man, his main concern is his stomach, the food that he likes. So he inclined more towards the woman that he given him what he likes. The other one doesn't know this. So he inclined more in his heart for the Afro-American one because they make a garlic green. What's the name of it? Garlic green for him, and beads and all the stuff. So he loved it. So after he finished, he said, honey, give me your finger, let me lick it. Which is a Sunday, you understand? But the Spanish one doesn't know it at all. You see? So we say that a person could not be fair with what's in the heart. So don't go and ask her to say, honey, I'm going to kiss you 3 times. What are you talking about? Say, because I kissed the other wife 3 times. No, doesn't go like this. You see? So you may incline to one more than the other in your heart, but still, your obligation to be what? Fair. You buy a watermelon here, buy a watermelon here. You buy a freezer for this woman, buy a deep freezer for this woman. Like, okay? So Allah talking is this verse about what? About inclination and the love and the heart, the emotion, alright? By no means we could not control it. You see? Yes. Because usually a person became what? He loves the people who became more good to him. So if one wife, when you go, you open the Advil bottle, okay? Always have aspirin and Advil. As soon as you enter the house, come on lady, give me a glass of water, let me take this aspirin. And the other one, when you go there, she has the oil, and she has this and that. Honey, are you done? You need a massage? So what? So you will incline more towards the one she has the oil, the massage, and the one that as soon as you enter, it takes 2 aspirin. The brother, all they can do, I'll try to make it. All right, do we have some systems? Take the mic, please.
The first one is, can a man be married to two women, one Muslima and one not? And it's basically a two-part question. I guess she's married to the Muslim and he wants to marry a non-Muslim.
If we're talking about permissibility, yes, it is permissible. That means he married a Muslim woman and a Jew woman. Or he married a Muslim woman and a Christian woman. Yes, all right? He can. Nobody can say it's haram. As long as she fulfills the condition of Ahlul Kitab. Next question. Next part. Okay. All right, brothers, we appreciate your last question. No question, this is good. It's time to refresh your wudu and get ready for Salat Isha. And I think we still have one and half talk. The half talk is after Fajr and one talk after Zuhr tomorrow. So if you wish, stop by before the Sheikh leaves town, inshallah. Thank you again for listening. And I hope I didn't step in anybody's toes tonight. And I'm very grateful that the sister didn't bring eggs and tomatoes to throw in me. And it was nice that the security put them in the different floor. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.